Would you turn, please, to Acts chapter 24? We'll begin reading at the 24th verse, verse 24 of Acts chapter 24, and reading into the next chapter, down to verse 7. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. "Let them therefore," said he, "which among you are able to go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him." And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. We'll end our reading there. We'll keep God's word open at that place, and let's unite together in prayer, seek the help and the power of God, that God will speak to us tonight in his word. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou will bless the public reading of it and the preaching of it to us, and grant the power of the Holy Spirit in this meeting. We need him to be working mightily. We need him so much. We thank you for the messages and song from thy servant that has brought us to Calvary again tonight. Bless her and her ministry and song for thee. Undertake for us now, O God, still our hearts, quicken our minds. May we with meekness receive the engrafted word of the Lord, which is able to save our souls. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Few that would deny that it is without question and unmistakably clear that one of the most precious of gifts that we possess from God is that of time. Time is precious. It's something that's required, something that is an essential element in the process of the development of a person from infancy to adulthood. A lot of time is required for that. A lot of time very often is required for the preparation of a career. A career cannot be realized without the element of time. And time is a necessary factor in the process of healing. And there are so many different applications of the truth. Time is precious to us. In fact, so precious was it that Queen Elizabeth, the Reformation Queen, as she was known by, whenever she learned that she was going to die very soon, cried out, "All my possessions for a moment of time." That's how she evaluated it. But time is not only precious, time is also present with us. Every one of us, all other things being equal, is given the same amount of time. For every one of us, there are 24 hours in the day. For every one of us, there are 7 days each week. For every one of us, around 30 days of an average in a month, and 12 months in a year. You can see, of course, that the great responsibility lies on us to be good stewards of that gift that God has given to us. We need to manage it well for Him. And we need to keep the following matters in their proper place. We need to make time in the time that God gives us for God Himself, for His worship, for communion with Him, and for fellowship with Him, both in our own homes, our own secret places, as well as corporately in His house. We need to manage time and bring our family into it, to work for them, to provide for them, and to fellowship and socialize with them. We need to have time for others. We should always think of others. Last of all, we need to have some time to and for ourselves by way of rest and relaxation. No wonder we read in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven." So time is precious. Time is present. But I want you to notice with me, and I want to concentrate on this matter tonight, that time is passing. We've got to keep that before us. One of our hymns says that time is like an ever-rolling or an ever-flowing stream that bears all its sons away. And this is a very important truth that each one of us should give due consideration to. Whenever it comes to us and moves from us, time never leaves us the same way. It brings about changes within every one of us. And the significance of this is going to be seen in the remainder of our meeting in the lives of certain people that were associated with this passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice for a text, at least as a basis for what I want to say tonight, verse 27 of chapter 24 of the book of Acts. I'll read the verse and then I'll give you the words that we're concentrating on. "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." The words are, "after 2 years." And while we may pass over these words very quickly in our reading of God's word, yet they are worthy of some consideration, because these 2 years had a profound effect upon these particular characters that I want to draw your attention to tonight. First of all, Felix, of whom we have read in chapter 24. And then secondly, Paul himself, the apostle. And then lastly, the Jews that are referred to. Now, first of all, as we look at the effect that the passing of time had on Felix, this is the dominant matter. Time affected Felix this way that there was the deadening of his conscience. What a story this is. Many sermons have been preached on part of this portion. I want just to bring it in as we deal with this particular text. But I want you to notice that Felix was the Roman procurator. He was the governor of Judea at this particular time. And he had this encounter with the Apostle Paul by reason of the Jews that hated Paul and his message. And we see that as we come to the latter part of our message tonight. The point is, Felix is now face to face with this apostle. There was a trial, and Felix dismissed the trial. And he said, I'll hear more about this whenever Lysias, the chief captain, comes down. And then after a while, along with his wife Drusilla here, we're told that he sent for Paul. In verse 24, Paul was still a prisoner to him at this time. But in verse 24 we read, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. These are some of the circumstances. And we see here the providential workings of God that brought Felix into contact with the gospel of Christ and brought Felix and Paul together. Otherwise, they never, if it were not for the providence of God, been such a meeting. But there are two things I want you to notice about Felix here that leads up to the deadening of his conscience. First of all, there was the experience that shook him. Notice verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What an awful experience he experienced that day. And yet it was for his well-being, of only he knew it. He trembled. Now it's worthwhile to note the occasion of this trembling, how it came about. Well, it came about because Felix himself sent for Paul. He wanted to hear more from Paul about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the course of his preaching, I want you to notice what Paul preached. It was very relevant to the man's circumstances. We are told in verse 25 that Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Matters that Felix needed to hear of. And by the way, he reasoned with him. He didn't harangue him. It was in a thoughtful way, but Paul did not miss the mark. He reasoned with him, explained to him logically, persuasively. All of these things were in the gospel. Righteousness. Every one of us needs a righteousness. Felix needed righteousness because he was living a markedly unrighteous life. Temperance. The word for temperance there doesn't mean abstinence from alcohol, but it means restraint and self-control and disciplined living. And of judgment to come. That will be the outcome of what happens if we live and die in our sins, rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, in effect, I will not have this man to rule over me. And whenever Felix heard what Paul was preaching, he trembled. What an experience. The gospel made this impact. But sadly, and it's here that we see the process of the hardening of the heart or the deadening of the conscience that's coming into being. Now, whenever he shook, he ought to have said, Paul, tell me more. Tell me how I can get right with God. How I can avoid this judgment to come. How I can live a righteous life. But no, he didn't say that. Notice what he did say in verse 25. Go thy way for this time. He dismissed the apostle. He brought an end to the sermon. He dismissed the apostle and he excused himself. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. In other words, Paul, you're the man. You're the man that's got the truth. I'll know to go to you for further help whenever I think the time is right. Look at it whatever way you will. He rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that led on to not only the experience that shook him, but the evil that debased him. Notice what we are told then. Instead of him giving this a good thought, a good thinking over, and coming back to the apostle and said, Paul, tell me more. Notice the way he went. Verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. So first of all, you can see here the integrity that he lacked. He had it in his power to loose the apostle, to set him free. But he realized there was the prospect here and the possibility of getting some money out of it. How did he know that Paul had money? Paul wouldn't have had much, but what he did have, he was on his way up to Jerusalem with the offerings for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Felix probably was aware of that. And so he thought, right, if Paul will give me money, I'll set him free. My dear friend, there's a lack of integrity there. After being shaken to his foundations by the gospel of Christ applied by the Holy Spirit. But not only do we see the integrity that he lacked, we see the injustice that he practiced. Notice again in verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, and what happened? He was replaced. Now the Bible doesn't tell us this, but history tells us what happened here. Felix put down a rebellion of Jews, and he was so severe that Caesar removed him and put Festus in his place. Now, there was an opportunity for Felix to say, right, this is a just man, I'll let him go. But no, he said, I'll please the Jews, thinking that maybe when things got so hot for him, he would do the Jews a favor now, and they would speak well for him in a time to come. It didn't matter about integrity. It didn't matter about justice. Here's a man that put the apostle Paul to the wolves when he knew that he was innocent. After 2 years. And notice the in-between there in verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. And you can well imagine that Paul would not have missed the mark throughout that 2 year period. Paul was witnessing to this man all the while. And yet as the 2 years of time were passing by, this man, his conscience was dead. He was taken away, brought back to Rome perhaps. We never hear of him again. Conscience was dead. Adrift on the sea of life, without a compass, without a chart. The dark night of judgment and the storm of judgment soon to descend. Nowhere could he see the shore or the haven in sight. The passing of time affected Felix in a most grave and solemn way. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't it true of you and me? Let's take the 2 year period for some of you in church tonight. You've come to the house of God, perhaps, and you can look back to maybe 2 years ago or even beyond that, but it was a time that you sat in one of these pews or you sat at a service and the word of God was going forth and unknown to anybody else, but it was making an impact in your life. It was bringing concern to you. And what have you done? You've excused yourself. You have rejected the message. And compared to what you were 2 years ago, tonight, your heart has become so hard, there is no interest. The passing of time has brought changes for you that are not good. But notice in the second place, the passing of time also had an effect upon Paul. And that affected him in the directing of his circumstances. And it concerned his circumstances in two ways. First of all, those circumstances that were external to him, things that were outside of himself. Now, Paul was a preacher. And no preacher loves to be shut up from preaching. Paul was no exception. Paul was a traveler. He loved traveling. Paul was a person that loved fellowship. Yes, he was a deep thinker. Yes, he was a theologian. But whenever he was in prison, writing his last letter to Timothy, we are told that he wanted certain things brought for him. He wanted his books. He wanted the cloak. He wanted the scriptures. And he wanted John Mark. And he wanted Timothy himself to come. Paul was a person that liked company. Paul was a missionary evangelist. He traveled all over a great part of the world in his day. But now all of that was changed. He's incarcerated by an unjust, immoral man, a wicked, powerful man. His prospects are not good. And even though 2 years have passed, he's still a prisoner. A new governor has come. Those 2 years left their mark on Paul. His circumstances were altered vividly. And I wonder tonight, as you look back over the past 2 years, have your circumstances been changed? Providence has been at work in a certain way in your life that you never would have dreamed of or maybe not even have wanted. The passing of time has left its mark on you. You find that you're having difficulty with health, perhaps. Maybe you're having difficulty with regard to our duties. There may be a change in direction that we never could have foreseen 2 years ago, but here we are, and we've got to take ourselves as what we are. But the wonderful thing is, if you're a Christian and love the Lord Jesus Christ, even though others may have meant it for evil that has affected you, we can say like Joseph, as he said to his brothers, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. And that's why the Apostle Paul says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Passing of time has affected you. It has affected your thinking. You're thinking in a different way now, perhaps, than what you thought 2 years ago. But not only were Paul's circumstances affected by the passing of time externally, they were also affected internally. And I think this is wonderful here. The Lord was working in his servant. I've already said that Paul was not used to being shut up like this. He was a free spirit in many ways. He loved to get out and about. He loved to travel all over the world preaching. He loved to fellowship with God's people. You gather that from his epistles and his letters that he writes. He says, pray for me that God will give me utterance. I keep you before the Lord in prayer. You keep me before the Lord in prayer. He just loved the fellowship of Christian company. But now he's deprived of that. And yet in his life, the Lord is working in him. The grace of God is helping this man, preserving him, protecting him from his adversaries, and he had many. The Spirit of God is sanctifying him, refining him, shaping him. Oh, what changes have come for Paul throughout these 2 years. If he ever needed to, and we all need to, he's learning patience. He's shut up, deprived of all of those things that he loved, but he's finding the Lord Jesus Christ most precious. And the Word of God is doing its deeper work in his life. And even though you look tonight at your outward circumstances, things have happened to you over this past 2 years, say, take the 2 years of the text, and you've said, it's not good, I've had my losses, I've had my disappointments, but yet if you're submissive to the Lord, all of these things can be working for your good, and the Spirit of God is refining you more and more, that the image of the Lord Jesus Christ be seen in you. Don't resist what time does on us. Don't fail to notice that the passing of time affects every one of us in a most serious way. For Felix, the passing of time meant the deadening of his conscience. For Paul, the passing of time meant the directing of his circumstances. And then lastly, for the Jews, the passing of time meant the displaying of their character. And we need to know something about this. Let me fill you in. Paul in his service, if you're familiar with the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll find that Paul was in constant conflict with Judaism. They became more than the Gentiles, more than the heathen, a terrible enemy to the Apostle Paul. Even many of the Jews who got converted, they still had hang-ups about some of their traditions, and especially the ceremonial aspect of God's law. And this is one of the reasons why Paul found himself in this terrible situation he's in here in Acts chapter 24 and 25. It all started, that is the latest part, all started in the middle of Acts chapter 21. This, I believe, is the whole context. Whenever Paul came up to Jerusalem, he went into James, one of the apostles, and told of the great work that God did in the Gentiles through the apostles' ministry. And so, you read the story, they praised God for that and glorified God. And then James said, now remember, James was an apostle. James was an elder, and Paul was an apostle. And James said, you see, my brother, I can imagine it with my mind's eye, putting his arm around Paul's shoulder. He says, you see, my brother, everybody's hearing, these Jews all over the place, that you're teaching the people to forsake Moses. Now, he says, we know there's nothing of it. But I'll tell you what to do. There's a situation here where there are people, Christian people, that have still these Jewish hang-ups about matters. And we don't want to offend their consciousness. As long as these people did not believe it affected their standing in Christ, it was not a big issue. So Paul was willing to accommodate them in what he did. But there were certain Jews from Asia that saw Paul, and they raised a rumpus. What an uproar! You get the details in Acts 21. Stretches right through here to chapter 25. Paul, they went for him. They tried to kill him. Lysias, the chief captain of the Romans, came down with a couple of centurions and their soldiers and rescued Paul. And they were bringing Paul up the steps of the castle there in Jerusalem. And Paul says, would you let me speak to these people? So he spoke to the Jews and he began to speak in the Hebrew tongue. Now, whenever he spoke in the Hebrew tongue, they listened to him. And then he tried to get at him again, and he was further rescued by Lysias, the chief captain of the Romans. Paul explained the situation. So Lysias arranged for the Jewish council to come and lay whatever charges they had against Paul. And whenever Paul began to preach or speak to them again, conduct his defense, he mentioned about God telling him to go to the Gentiles, and as soon as he said that, they were up in arms again. And Lysias had to snatch Paul away and rescue him. Now, in between, Paul's nephew, his sister's son, overheard over 40 Jews taking an oath that they would not eat bread or eat food or drink water till they had killed the apostle. And so the young fellow went to his uncle Paul, and he told Paul what happened. And Paul called for a centurion and said, "This young man has something to tell Lysias, the chief captain." The young fellow was brought into Lysias' company. He told what had happened. Lysias says, "Don't tell anybody about this." And he made an arrangement of nearly 400 soldiers to take Paul by night, to bring him down to Antipatris, and then others of them brought him on to Caesarea. All because of the hatred and the hostility of the Jews. This was their previous rejection of Paul and his message. Their hostility was so cruel and so ferocious that they were willing to go to these lengths. So this is where we have Paul meeting up with Felix that we talked about earlier. Felix waited until the high priest came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea, along with an orator, Tertullus. And Tertullus was the Jewish advocate, or the Jewish prosecutor. And he began to tell terrible lies on behalf of the Jews about the Apostle Paul. And then Felix says, "Right, Paul, it's your turn to speak for yourself." And Paul gave his great defense of himself. We never read it. It finished there, round about verse 22 of Acts chapter 24. And then we saw the story of what happened to Felix after the 2 years. Now, you would have thought by this stage that the Jews would have let go. Keep in mind, 2 years have passed. But then Festus came to the fore. He went up to Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders got a hold of him and said, "Listen, that prisoner down there in Caesarea, could you not order him to come up? And whenever he's being brought up, we'll see to it that he's slain on the way." Festus said, "I'll do no such thing. If you have anything against them, I'm going back to Caesarea. You can send your men down and we'll try him." And that's where we read into chapter 25. That happened. You can see not only the previous rejection of Paul and his message, but now the prolonged opposition to Paul and his message. 2 years have gone by, and this man, Festus, is now on the seat of authority and power. And yet for all of that, with a new governor, these Jewish leaders are out to get the man of God. And that tells me that these 2 years, the passing of time over these Jews, was displaying the character of venom and hatred and hostility to the message of the gospel and to the ministry of the apostle. Ladies and gentlemen, I come back to it. 2 years ago, perhaps you heard the gospel in a way that you'd never heard it before. But not only did you say no to it, not only did you firmly reject it, but you've set yourself against it. That now, anything that's got to do with Christianity, anything that's got to do with God, anything that's got to do with Jesus Christ, anything that's got to do with the Bible, anything that's got to do with Christian people or with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're opposed to it. You call us killjoys. You call us spoilsports. The passing of time that has washed itself over you is revealing your character as an opponent of the gospel of Christ. Could you tonight, my dear friend, not realize the awful course that you're on by hardening your heart continually, by stretching out your hand to call Christians in our society today people that are out to spoil the joy of us? You know what's happening. We read it. We hear it every day. The terrible cases that The police all over Britain are bringing against Christian people because they take their stand, not aggressively, not rudely, because they're put in positions. They're brought before the courts. Some instances their business is racked. And you become an opponent of Christianity. I beg of you, my dear friend, before much more time passes by, get off that track that's leading you to everlasting destruction. Realize tonight that God still loves sinners. That great message of the gospel, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, is true. That there's only one way to be acceptable in God's sight, and that's not by religion or by our good works, but simply by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me finish with this. This 2-year period that we're looking at tonight, did you notice that the human heart was the sphere of the diverse operations that were taking place? The human heart, Paul's, Felix, those Jews. And yet, the way time was affecting each of them, it was affecting each of them at the same time. Those diverse operations were in different people all at the same time. And the effect of the passing of time upon us is something like them. We can't avoid it. And it's affecting us. Men and women, destinies are being changed by the way we react to the circumstances that God puts us in. And especially with regard to the message of the gospel, like Felix heard and what these Jews heard through the Apostle Paul. I plead with you tonight, if you have the slightest interest or the slightest thought about getting right with God and taking the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do it, because time is affecting you and it may be putting you on the course of no recovery if you harden your heart and say no to Christ this very night. After 2 years, the passing of time, how it affects men and women.